I'm very pleased to be with you, and I'm here to serve you. In one of the goals of this trip, we want to deepen our own spiritual practice, make contact, touch Krishna, and bring that into our daily life. So, I also know there are other purposes in this journey. We were Ganesh Yampriya and Navi Krishna, and also our Bhuta Bhavana will show us how to find our unique purpose in this life, how to find our Dharma. We will also have another idea, and I think Gaur Gopal will help us to get ideas to present Krishna consciousness in an interesting way for a modern audience and become enthusiastic, really. Yes, to become Krishna conscious and to share. To become Krishna conscious is like inhaling, and to share Krishna consciousness is like exhaling. And between the two, the inhale and the exhale, our life will go. If we just think of our own spiritual life and our own sadhana, this will not work so well for us, because we will lack this one quality of compassion which endears the devotee to Krishna. And if we only share, then we will run out of substance very soon. So both is important. And my part here in this seminar is to, or in this trip, is to try to help you to go deep in your own spiritual practice and to get some substance, a substance which will make you immortal, really. Before I start, I also want to give you a little tip. As you know, from my language, I always joke, I say I speak German with a little English accent. There was one German philosopher called Arthur Schopenhauer. I think in English you would say Arthur Schopenhauer or something like this. And he compared the human being with porcupines. Do you know what is a porcupine? You know. In the winter, when they are a little bit far away from each other, they freeze. It's so very lonely here, it's so very cold. So the porcupines will come together to be close to each other and feel warm. But then, as soon as they are close, they're pinpricks. You know, these spikes, or what it is, begin to disturb each other. So they're soon running away from each other. This is the human behavior. When we are alone in London, in our little apartments of silent suffering, we feel, oh, I need to be with people. Then we come on a trip and all of a sudden we have to share the bathroom with 40 strangers. And we feel the pikes, the pinpricks of association, and then we want to be alone. Oh, it's too much to be with so people. And I always have to share. Oh, I'm so empty inside. There's nothing to share, really. And in this way, we are going back and forth between being alone and coming into company. But please know, it is good to be in devotional company, because you can help each other grow spiritually. Krishna said to Uddhava, I have this quote for you. My dear Uddhava, he says, you must know one thing. One can worship me within the devotees by offering them loving friendship and honoring them in all respects. My dear devotees, don't be like a porcupine on the Pallavasena trip, who is yearning for Sangha and then it comes running away from it. No, make as our Ganeshyam Priya is so nicely and so inspiringly told us, make it a transformative experience where you can really move forward and where you can really, when you look back in your life, say, wow, that was a defining moment that really did something for me. This is my request and this is how I would like you to see this little seminar which I have prepared for you. Is that all right? It is good.
Oh my God, thank you. Thank you.
Who are you? Thank you so much. You don't need to be afraid. You can sit with me. Okay, fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls. Now it's time to get serious.
I wanted to sing with you one kirtan,
because what I will be doing with you is I will discuss 9 personalities who gave an example in their life how to immerse oneself entirely and with great benefit in a spiritual practice. And by following these 9 personalities, all of you will touch Krishna's lotus feet and come out of this Pandavasena trip like a lightning, like a bulb full of light. That's maybe too much. You know, really inspired and spiritually strong, and that you will, implement this or know how to practice this in your spiritual life. This is my goal. Please stay with me, and after some time, see the change. Let us start by chanting briefly Jai Radha Madhava and Shishi Radha Tamada Ki Jai.
Gopi jana vanda, Thank you. I'm
things that I must and want and shall and will greet His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. Welcome, Maharaj. Thank you for giving us your wonderful presence, Maharaj. My dear devotees, when Bhagavatananda Prabhu assigned the seminar which I'm going to give to you, it was not easy for me because usually I give long seminars and here I have to be very focused with 1.5 hours each day. And also, he requested something which I thought was very, very insightful and which really was, let me say, very challenging for me. He said, Maharaj, you should achieve one end. You should help us to deal with our struggles in our spiritual life and help us to become absorbed in our spiritual practice. And you should also teach us how to chant the holy name with taste. Two mighty subjects in one together. We discussed this with Bhavanandini back and forth, and together they came at a very nice idea which I will try to present, and I now it is my goal that you will as you go through this experience of this seminar, that you will really become good examples in spiritual practice, and also that you will have a very deep, abiding taste, because ultimately every one of us is a person who is only motivated when he discovers a taste. Taste is the greatest motivator in spiritual life. And this is because by nature we are searching for ananda. No one searches for misery, especially not in spiritual practice. We want in our spiritual practice to find ananda, or deep pleasure, or as we say in terms of sadhana language, ruchi, taste in our practice. So I request you to listen to what you're going to hear by focusing on the person which we will introduce, the pastime which the person does, the activities, and the principles and the practice. The four P's of Pandavasena teachings are: we need to have a person, an example. In our spiritual life, we need to see what they do. We need to extract the principle from their activities, and we need to transform that into a personal practice. So, there are 9 ways, my dear devotees, in which you traditionally can approach Krishna. And these 9 practices have the potencies to move you forward. I want to find them for you. Now, it says, among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best, for these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna an ecstatic love for Him. Now, when you do these 9 processes, when you learn to do them, you will be given Krishna. Here's Krishna. Take Krishna. And not only that, you will also have ecstatic love for Krishna. And that will come. These nine processes are starting with Shravana, hearing about Krishna. And the example for this is Maharaj Parikshit, whose story I want to tell you very, very, very briefly and relevant for your spiritual life. The second process which can give you Krishna into your heart and can give you love for Krishna in your heart is what is it? What we just did. Kirtana. Singing about Krishna or talking about Krishna or sharing Krishna. And the personality who did this is Shukadev Goswami. So both of these meet in a fascinating ways. Parikshit meets Shukadev Goswami, or the example for proper hearing meets the example for proper kirtan in a very dramatic way. They meet at the threshold of death. Of all the experiences we make in our life, meeting death is very, very impactful. Parikshit Maharaj is doing this. He was cursed to die within 7 days. It happened when he was on a royal hunting expedition and became extremely thirsty. To take shelter and to quench his thirst, he came into the ashram of a saint called Shamiki Rishi. He hoped that here in the ashram he would get something to drink. Have you ever been very thirsty? Have you ever felt, I only care now about getting something to drink? Then you know how Parikshit Maharaj felt. He needed it. When he met upon the Rishi, however, Shamika, he was perplexed to see that Shamika didn't take notice of him. He was just sitting there under a tree, and Parikshit addressed him. Very thirsty! But Shamika Rishi didn't take notice of him. The naturally inborn respect of Parikshit, which he had to all saints, turned first into a feeling of hurt, and then into the feeling of anger. Some say that Parikshit, who was such a qualified devotee and king, the fact that he became angry was that Kali, who was hiding himself in his golden crown, was just coming down into his brain and confusing him for a moment. So to express his anger, Parikshit, who did not seem to notice that he was meditating, he was not noticing him. It was not disrespect which stopped Shamika Rishi to give him water. It was just samadhi, trance. So Parikshit took with the end of his bow a dead snake who was lying nearby and garlanded the saint and stormed out in protest from the ashram. This was seen by Sringi, the son, who became infuriated also. Kali also got the better part of him. And Sringi went down to the river, touched water, and his Brahman string, pronounced a terrible curse. May the arrogant Parikshit die within 7 days by a bite of a poisonous snake. Then, totally upset, quivering, he went up to see his father and broke down sobbing before the meditating saint. Shamika came out of his samadhi and asked, "But what happened?" He had the snake still, the dead snake around his neck, but he didn't notice what happened. And Shringi said, "This arrogant king came, and when you didn't come out of your meditation, he garlanded you with a snake. This is too much. I went down into the river and I cursed him to die after 7 days." "Oh," said Shamika, "you did this? My dear boy, you were overwhelmed by Kali. He's a Rajarishi. He's a representative of God. And he is a great devotee. How have you done this? Oh no, Kali is now working and bringing the Brahmanas against the Kshatriyas. This is very unfortunate." Then he pacified his son, after all he was the father, and sent a messenger to Parikshit and said, "Parikshit, this happened. You are cursed by my son." Now Parikshit could have done a yajna, done some remedial measure to counteract the curse. He didn't. He felt Krishna was working through this incident and calling him. So he went down to the river Ganga to sit, and he had only one question. What is a man to do who's about to die? What is the duty? Now, my dear devotees, don't think we are young, we are Pandava Senas, we are not about to die. We have mobile phones, you know, that we can and some apps, we can counteract all troubles of material existence. No. Each one of us has an X on his forehead where I live. It's a forest, and then the woodcutters come and mark and look for a tree which they cut. They put an X, a white X on him. So this means this tree is going to be cut. You all have an X on your forehead. That means this person is going to fall when the axe of death strikes in our existence. So parallel to all of this is Shuka Muni, Shukadev Goswami. And just very briefly, he is a self-realized saint from birth, and when he came out of the womb of his mother, he did not want to entangle himself in the family life, but he left for the forest to meditate. His father, Vyasadev, the exalted compiler of the Vedic scriptures, was very attached to his only son and ran after him and called for him. But it is said, only the trees of the forest answered the aggrieved father. I was meeting on Jamashtami with a father whose son is doing devotional service, and the father felt, "Oh, my son, so long he is absent. When will he come back?" And we had some discussion. It is now very nicely solved. But imagine Vyasadev, whose son, at the moment of death, of birth, leaves home. You might say, but how is it possible? He's a small shishu, small baby, they can't crawl. You don't know Shukadev. He had stayed 16 long years in the womb of the mother. I hope it doesn't happen to any of our girls. That must be intense. 16 years of pregnancy. When he came out, he was a full grown youth. It was another time, another age, and other possibilities. So he left for the forest, and his father couldn't find him. So one day, woodcutters came to Vyasadev. They said, up till now, Vyasadev, your hermitage was free from the influence of ghosts and Rakshasas. But something very bad has happened. We went into the forest to do our duty, but all of a sudden we saw a golden colored ghost coming out from the bushes. We saw he was young and he was absent-minded, he was very beautiful. We called out, and he didn't even notice us. What is this? Oh, said Vyasadev, how does he look, the ghost? Well, he's grown like a young 16-year-old man, his black locks. It's very beautiful. Said Vyasadev, you need to know, for this is a very terrible ghost, you must say an a mantra to exorcise him. Is that the right English word? When a ghost comes, you say, kling, pat, 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 and then he goes. So you must know the mantra. Yes, tell us the mantra. And then Shukadev Goswami, Vyasadev, told them a mantra, written it down for you.
I will.
Would you like to know the mantra? I will tell it to you anyways, because... It probably also works to make you laugh. It's a verse which describes Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan. He has a Vaidyajanti garland made from five flowers. He has a peacock feather. And he has one trumpet-shaped flower. It's a Karnikara flower, which he artistically moves from one ear to the other ear. And he dances. He dances. His feet dance. His legs dance, his dhoti dances, his garland dances, his eyebrows dance. Everything dances in the Lord of Dance, the Lord Krishna. He leaves footprints and his cowherd boyfriends follow him. This is the description for meditating about Krishna. So then the woodcutters came back. They had found the so-called ghost. They have chanted this mantra. And they said, Vyasadev, we chanted this mantra. But this ghost became so wild, he ran towards us. He didn't run away from us. He ran towards us. He said, where is Krishna? And he embraced us. And this should be a mantra to exercise, exorcise, whatever the English word is. But it has attracted the ghost. Now we are in trouble. And as they said this, Vyasadeva saw the person whom he had wanted to attract with this mantra. He saw his own son, Shukamuni, running through the forest to the ashram. Where is Krishna? I want to know more about Krishna. I want to know about this most attractive lord of my heart. Please, where can I find more? And Vyasadeva said, you came to the right spot. Sit down, I will teach you the Bhagavata. So this is how Shukadev came back after to home, after he had left the home to not entangle himself. He had been a fully self-realized soul, my dear devotees. He had understood, I am different from the body. But he had heard this one verse only from the woodcutters by a scheme of his father, and he had become attracted to Krishna, who is highly attractive, and now wanted to learn more of these verses. So Vyasadeva told him the entire Bhagavatam, and when that was completed, Shukadev went away from home, and he went and went through many villages and towns until finally he arrived at the spot where Parikshit Maharaj sat awaiting his death in 7 days. All the sadhus saw him. All the servants saw him entering. All the birds saw Shukamuni entering. You could not miss Shukadev Goswami. He was self-realized. He was absorbed in Krishna. He was totally naked. Now, if any one of you would enter naked at the Pranavasena trip, we would be highly concerned. This is not a shower. This is a Pandavasena trip. Please dress appropriately. But when Shukadev came, my dear devotees, he was so beyond the physical body and the normal ways of dealing with this that all the saints who saw him, everyone who saw him, rose in respect, understanding that this is the great saint Shukadev Goswami. And he began to speak the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, who listened with one quality. He listened as if his life depended on it. He listened, in other words, extremely attentively. If you want to enter a spiritual life, you must do this through the 9 processes of devotional service. And the art of, and it starts with listening. The art of listening is captured in two words actually. Attentively and submissively. If you hear the Bhagavatam every day, if you read the Bhagavatam every day with attention and with submission, my dear devotees, wow, Krishna will manifest in your heart Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, what need is there for any other scripture? If Krishna is manifesting in your heart by submissive and attentive oral reception, what need is there for any other book? Therefore, I've given earlier a retreat in London about reading the Bhagavatam. Those of you who want to get some hints how to do, can download these lectures. But here, yeah, we want to be brief and we want to be practical and boil it down to a person. So the principle, we need only two things. Parikshit was attentive as Shukadev Goswami spoke because he felt his life was dependent on it, and he welcomed the text with submission, and that these two qualities made sure that at the end of his life he went back home, back to Godhead. Shukadev Goswami, on the other hand, he told the Bhagavatam with great relish. He did his kirtan, his glorification of Krishna through the Bhagavatam with great, great relish. He did the kirtan very much. So, my dear devotees, I will now make a little something unexpected. Our Bhagavata Ananta was requesting me to give you taste in kirtan. Hare Krishna. Sisi Radha Damodar Ki Jai. You must know one thing. We are here to learn sadhana, spiritual practice, but our exercises, which we will do during the course of this little seminar, will be only on deepening kirtan, nothing more. I will tell you what you have to do in your daily life when you hear or read the Bhagavatam. What are the two qualities again? Attention, thank you. And the second? Submission. Faithful reading. Like, yes. Absorb. Receiving it in a humble mood through the oral channel. This is how Prabhupada speaks in his old English. How we do this. But my dear devotees, what we will practice, today we will practice these two qualities, attention and submission in terms of kirtan, will be only practiced here in kirtan. Because, and there is a reason, Lord Chaitanya explains in the Antya Leela 4.71, those who are avid readers, this is a good verse to take note of. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always eat pizza. No. Only some of you caught me. Please listen. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. So, yes, we will learn of the nine processes of devotional service. We will learn what Parikshit did for Shravanam. And we will learn what Shukadev did for Kirtan. But what we will do, my dear devotees, what we will practice is the summary of all nine processes, the kirtan. I must say, I am not a very intelligent person. I learn verses and I learn philosophy and I give this to others. I give many lectures, but personally, I like things simple and practical. When I heard how Prabhupada came to Germany and how when he said one thing, then my life direction changed. See, in Germany, when Prabhupada came, it was 1974. That was when the world was younger. And Srila Prabhupada received one priest of a great monastery. His name is Pater Emanuel von Jungklausen. A very, very nice priest, vegetarian, and so on. And they had discussions. And Prabhupada took him with him on the morning walk. And then Prabhupada said to him something which I overheard. I was next to Pater Emanuel von Jungklausen and I listened. He said, "I have not come here to teach philosophy." I remember Pater Emanuel Jungklausen was very surprised. He said, "But you have written so many books. No, you're not teaching philosophy." "No," he said, Prabhupada said, "I have come to request you to chant, to request all of you," he was speaking to the devotees, "to simply chant Hare Krishna, to change your consciousness, transform your consciousness, and to realize your constitutional position," that means who you are by constitution, that is an eternal servant of Krishna. An amazing statement, isn't it? If you go to think about it, I was there and I thought, wow, Prabhupada wants me to become a good chanter. He wants me to purify my consciousness in this way. And he also wants me to realize my eternal constitutional position or relationship with Krishna through chanting, through kirtan. So Prabhupada was not inventing a new process or was not making a new interpretation of the bhakti sadhana. He was actually saying that the essence of all practices, the sara, is good kirtan. If you can learn to chant the holy name properly, my dear devotees, then all the benefits which the other nine or the other eight processes of devotional service, remember kirtan is part of the nine, but the benefits which the other processes of devotional service can give you, they can come, these benefits accumulate in the kirtan and are given to you. In other words, when you chant properly, you also do shravanam properly. You hear about Krishna. When you chant properly, you also do smaranam, or you remember or meditate about Krishna. When you chant properly, you also do padasevanam. You worship the lotus feet of Krishna through your chanting. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj told me once very early that when he chants, he feels like a pujari who offers flowers to the deities. In other words, he worships Krishna through chanting the holy name, just like the priest worships the Lord on the altar through offering flowers and other articles. So, my dear devotees, I want to say, in proper chanting, in proper kirtan, the benefits of all nine processes accumulate. Now you might say, then why do we hear so many Bhagavatam classes? Maharaj, why don't you sing? Why do you explain and tire us to death? Why?
Hare Krishna.
Why on this trip don't we just sing and dance? Why do we so many other things? My dear devotees, Srila Prabhupada explained this once to us. He said that the other eight processes, you know, altogether nine, but Kirtana is there in the nine, they are supporting the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy name. They are supporting us. For instance, to hear about Krishna or read about Krishna, that what is today's subject matter. My dear devotees, this supports you, because then when you know who is Krishna, your chanting will not lead to, you will chant to a person, you will connect with a person, you will get your sambandha jnana, your connection with Krishna, only by hearing about Krishna. If you don't know who is Krishna, if you don't read the Bhagavata, Krishna will not mean anything to you. And you will not be able to connect with Krishna. In other words, you will chant only shadow chanting. It will not be substantial chanting. You must hear about Krishna. You must learn about Krishna. So that when you sit down and worship Him by the holy name, you will connect with Him. And you will be with Krishna. But if you chant and you don't know about Krishna, you will think about Gujarati sweets when you chant.
If you come from Gujarat.
Or Bengali sweets when you come from Bengali. Or the girls will think of the boys when they chant, and the boys will think of the girls when they chant. It will not be devotional service. It will be something else. So we need to get our sambandha, our connection with Krishna, through hearing or reading. It's the same thing, getting information about Krishna. And in this way, in this particular way, our chanting will not be a bridge leading nowhere. It will be a bridge to Krishna. Is this point clear to you? Yes? Oh, good. Very important. It supports us. And we need support. But when it comes down to it, we want to sit down, chant the holy name in deepest absorption, contact Krishna, and our whole life is transformed. I want to give you a modern example because you are modern people. For me, chanting means touching Krishna. And I want to give you an example. Nowadays, smoking is not allowed in airports. So they have these little aquarium-like things. Whenever someone comes out of these aquarium-like cubicles, you have seen, they are usually glass, and 50 people go there to accelerate the dying process. Saying with a little second, I should have compassion. Let us compassionately view them. But it is not healthy, and it is proven. So they go there, and whenever they come out of this zone, the smoking zone, you can get the whiff of the smoke. You can. They just one person who was in there, because they are so absorbed. I mean, they absorb the atmosphere. There's so much in the smoke, right? That they come out. You can know from where they come, and so on. So in chanting, we should also become so absorbed or so immersed, that's the English word for this, that we touch Krishna, we touch the spiritual world, and when we come out, oh, my dear devotees, you will have a Krishna conscious fragrance around you, or effulgence around you, or influence around you, or Shakti around you. Therefore, it's so important that every day you are entering this room of intense chanting and you're immersing yourself in there, and then you can bring something of the spiritual atmosphere into your daily life. That's why in this lesson on sadhana, we will hear about the supportive practices, but each session will be ended with some instructions on how to chant with taste. Is that in your interest? Good. So, I will do this now, to just put my aging body in a different position. One moment.
This is private, please don't look at me.
It's a little embarrassing when you get old. Good. My dear devotees, today we have two examples. Two persons who excel and who are leaders in two processes of devotional service. Parikshit Maharaj, who represents the process of Shravana, hearing. He heard for 7 days. He did not stop. He said he didn't drink even. Don't worry, you will get prasada. He didn't eat. He just heard. And Sugadev took a very, with great taste and relish, chanted the glories of Krishna to him. There was one point, it comes in the 10th canto, where he became so emotionally stirred, Sugadev Goswami, that he fainted. Now this is not good. If the lecturer faints, if Ganesham Priya faints when he gives his workshop pain, that's the end of the workshop. It's not good. So it was not good for Parikshit and the saints that Sukadev Goswami fainted in ecstasy. So Narada Muni Vyasadev went with carotels and bumpers near his ear and woke him up so that he could continue. These two give good examples of hearing and chanting. Parikshit Maharaj chanted in two, heard in two ways. What was his recipe? Attention and submission, right? And I'm always saying, like they say in Vrindavan, Sugadev Goswami, he chanted with great relish and absorption. So these two things we want to learn in relationship to the holy name. Let me see. Yes, here we go. I want to give a little exercise. I need the Gaura Krishna Bhajan band for this. And if you don't know as of yet, our Bhajan group is called, our Kirtan group is called the Gaura Krishna Bhajan band, sometimes Kirtan band. I think in Pandava Senas we go by the name Kirtan band. I want to first of all tell you, my dear devotees, when you want to chant properly and when you want to hear properly, you must use what is given to you to do these things. From the spiritual perspective, our body and mind is a gift by the Lord to engage in spiritual practice. It's called in Sanskrit a sadhana Sharira. Sharira means vehicle, like a car. Huh? So, if you want to absorb yourself, if you want to immerse yourself in the practice, you need to know what you can use, what you can, what is in your hands, with what you can immerse yourself. It is the body and the mind. I request you, we will sing here a kirtan today because you have just arrived from everywhere, so you must be tired. A kirtan is easiest. I want you to align your body, use your body. Just shake it a little, or shake is not the word, just move it a little so that you wake it up a little. Should we do a little exercise? Yeah, for waking up. No? Ganesha Priya, exercise is good? I think it is. Gopa, it is appropriate. Clench your fists. And on an inhale, open it. On an exhale, close it. It's almost when you go, stay like this. When you go like this, almost like you do this with traction. If you pull yourself up, one of these, what is it called? Pull up bars. Pull up bars. With force, in other words. Right. Excellent. I only look at the boys. The girls can really display their shakti, but we will not see it. With force, you're pulling yourself up on one of the pull-up bars. And have a smile in your face. Very important. Now we will accelerate. Force and happiness. We will do 1,000 more. Bas, enough. Men, please put your hands, left hand on your belly and the right hand over it. Ladies, please put your right hand on your stomach and the left of it. This was meant to waken up the body. Obviously, when you go in the temple, you don't do this, otherwise they throw you out. You may not do it in your personal practice, but I just wanted to show you, you have your body, and it should be awakened. When you sit down to chant, it's good to chant and sit. If you're too tired, then you can walk, obviously. But bring your body in a situation where you can be attentive, where you can be focused. What I always do is I roll the shoulders up to the, bring them up to the ears and then back in order to widen the chest. And I sit straight, very important. The next is the mind. In chanting, we need to focus the mind on the sound vibration. And the final thing to be aligned or brought into the chanting is to bring our heart to the process. There's a prayer which helps you. Krishna Tumara Hana Yadi Bale Ekabala Maya Bhuna Haite Krishna Tare Kareva. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." My dear devotees, let us do this now. Let us sing very loudly. Normally. And let us focus our mind on each one of the beautiful names of the Mama Mantra. And let us be there with our heart. Let us pray, "My Lord, I've forgotten you since so many long years, but here I've come to America only for going deeper in my spiritual life. I sincerely surrender to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me in your service." Like Shri, at least hear attentively. Bring your mind to it. And chant with enthusiasm. Sukadev, you didn't stop for 7 days to chant the Bhagavatam. Kindly chant now.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Really, my dear devotees, if you learn to bring these three items to the practice, body should be awakened, should sit tall or walk, mind should be concentrated, not absent-minded, space in, don't space out, that's for American people, and third is the heart, must be the devotion, some feeling, some spirit must be there. And then you enter really into a spiritual space where you bring something with you which will enliven your entire day. So this is the first lesson. I want to now see, we have 12 more minutes, if you have any questions regarding what you have heard or subjects which are tangential for this. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna!
Yes, I see one hand is going up.
Yes, Abhishek.
Nice to see you, by the way. Nice to see all of you.
Enlivening. Yes, please.
Maharaj, you're speaking about the two qualities of hearing is attention and submission. Attention is quite clear, but could you speak a little bit more about submission and the faith aspect?
Yes.
You have heard the question acoustically?
In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, we find it a little bit differently expressed, but the same principles are said.
There, Shukadev Goswami says that there are three things which you need to do when you hear the Bhagavatam. First of all is Shraddhaya, with faith. Then you need to do it regularly, Nityam. And finally you need to do it with Svacheshtam. Chesta means an effort, and the effort is very clear from other verses, has to be made of giving full attention. Now your question is, can you illuminate a little bit on Shraddha, with faith? See, there are two types of faith. One is the faith which you invest in things of the world. Like if I take this medicine, I will be healed. If I work and earn money, I will be able to improve my well-being, and certain faith things. But what we are talking when we approach the Bhagavatam is not worldly faith or faith in things of this world. It is alokika shraddha. It is world in the faith in the things beyond this world. That is how we are starting with you, that you are a spirit soul and that you are part of God, a part of Lord Krishna and other such items. So how, from where do we get this faith? This faith in things beyond the world. It's easy to, many people have faith, that if I have a certain hairstyle, with certain ornaments, if I put certain ornaments, or if I learn language which is cool, I will be part of a certain social group and I will be accepted, and finally I will get some value. That's some faith, that is easy. This worldly faith. How can I get faith in spiritual things which are beyond me and beyond my immediate experience? That only comes, this alokika shraddha, it is appearing and it is strengthened
in the association of people who are spiritually advanced, the devotees, the sadhus, because they have made an experience in the in this area which they are willing to share. You will not get a laukika shraddha, a spiritual shraddha, which you need when you do shravanam and kirtanam, from people of the world. You need to get it from people who are a little bit otherworldly, so to say, who are spiritually advanced and who speak from experience and from taste. No? That's where you can get it. That's the birthplace of Shraddha, the faith which we are looking for, the spiritual faith, is in the association of the devotees. It's a base, this is a maternity home, birthplace, a birth center. Yes? Good. Yes. Don't tell me your name. Shyam Gopal! How could I, for a second, even hesitate to know your name? Yes. Please speak loud enough. I think it's good if we have a microphone or something. But you can go while this is arranged, yes. Yes. When we chant the holy name, we come in touch with Krishna. We come in contact with Krishna. And that contact with Krishna, that touch with Krishna, begins to totally transform us. Just like iron, which comes in touch with the fire, Syam Gopal, gradually becomes fire. In the same way, when the conditioned soul comes in touch with Krishna, you begin to transform. I would like to give you something to think about. Once Prabhupada asked all of us and said, how do you know that Krishna is God? How do you know? So the devotee said, well, it says so in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, I asked you, how do you know? This is just a book. It's saying that. Then another devotee piped up.
Young devotees.
Pipe. Young sound. He made a young sound. He said, Prabhupada, you are the representative of God and you told us. I may be just an old man, said Prabhupada, who has a belief. How do you know that Krishna is God? Do you understand the question? Know is something you own it. Then we were silent. That was always the case when Prabhupada went into this mode. And then Prabhupada gave the answer, and I really request you, this is the last thing you have to concentrate before you have lunch and can sleep. Please listen. Prabhupada said, you know by the experience when you chant and when you serve, you feel some ecstasy. Use these words. Like, yes, the loudspeaker feels also something. Like now we have all come together and we have chanted the holy name. And I could see some of you were swaying back and forth. Others were closing their eyes, although it was daytime. There was something which you felt, some experience. I was with Gokrishna and Nityananda and his good wife, that we were together in Lithuania. And I joked to them, if you would chant, let us make an Indian example. What is a good girl's name in India?
Kamala.
Tamara. No, Tamara is not Indian. It's Russian. Indian.
Of course.
What? Priya. Priya, yes. Priya is a good boy's name. Raj? Yeah, good. If you go Priya Raj, Priya Raj, Raj Raj, Priya Priya, Priya, what's a good other boy's name? Kumar. Priya Kumar, Priya Kumar, 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 already I'm bored. Priya Priya. Priya is, somehow reminds us of Priya Krishna and so on. It's not so bad, but there would be no ecstasy in singing this, no? Or if you serve a devotee, that's very nice, that gives ecstasy. But an ordinary man, you only do it if you get a paycheck. And so on. But when you serve Krishna, you will experience at the Padmasena trip. I think there is ample opportunity to serve Krishna during this trip. You will feel an experience which you have not when you chant or serve an ordinary material person. I think that is a very nice example which Srila Prabhupada, a very nice answer which Prabhupada. That's how you know, not just believe or and so on. That's how you know. Hare Krishna. This was Syam Gopal's question again. I'm also a little jet lagged. So have I answered or have I gone off tangent like jet lagged people do? The question is there and you talk here. I hope, was it alright? I have forgotten your question, to be very honest. Anyways, I feel it's the end of my answer, so I hope the answer was given the right way. What was your question? Touching Krishna. Yes, that is what happens when you chant. You connect with Krishna, and the experience tells you of this. You also touch Krishna or connect with Krishna through hearing, through the other nine processes of devotional service. But remember, Syam Gopal, Mahaprabhu says, of all the nine processes which have this power, the chanting of the holy name is the most, of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Not Mahaprabhu is saying. So some contact is made. I will end here. I thank you very much. I wish you really from my heart that this will be a wonderful transformational experience like our Ganeshyam Priya inspired us. He mentioned three other processes: seva, sangha, and sadhana, seva, and sangha. He mentioned if we focus on these three, he said transformational experience is possible. All the best and see you later. Hare Krishna.